Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, I haven't said hi, or I don't know if Waddle said hi, to our wonderful people watching us on Twitch right now. Hello to everybody.
Had you been watching, you would have seen me take my headset off and throw it on the ground in a fit of immature rage.
Oh, is this what Jay Hay
hit one off
doubled
the
off the wall?
Yeah, because if that one goes over the fence, I think I had that like at 5-1.
All right, so check us out. Yesterday, Waddle cracked under the quarterback derby conversation. Today, he nearly cracked because he's losing on dinger dollars.
Yeah.
So twitch.tv is the website, or download the Twitch app and follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago. That's our channel. That's the key, ESPN 1000 Chicago.
I just feel like you guys are great teammates because all of you today also cracked. Yes. Everyone in the show has cracked.
It's all brought to you by our friends at Blue Moon Light Sky.
Yeah,
make it a once in a blue moon derby. We've been melting down over this, Dan Weiderer. Have you gotten sick, gotten tired, and are you just excited for them to name a starter?
What do I got to do to crack on this show? I'm over this. I got to get done with this quarterback competition. We got to get a starter in. We got to get ready for the Lions. Let's go.
You're cracked. You've just become you're part of the club.
I take solace in the fact that we are days away from knowing who the starting quarterback is, and we are 10 days away from an actual game being played in Detroit, which will advance all of this forward and allow us to progress into a regular season where we'll be able to yell at each other with actual on-field evidence to support what we're yelling about.
Yes.
Here's a weird question. You didn't get to watch everything, but you guys got to watch some of it, and it's a weird preseason because there's no preseason games. These are so controlled. Even the way they scrimmaged was differently with the situational football. Did you learn anything about either quarterback during this preseason?
I don't want to say nothing, but I would also say not enough. And I think that's why there is this level of anxiety inside the walls at Hallis Hall, because they realize that they didn't get to do all the things that they ideally wanted to do. You know, in a normal year, we would have had OTAs. We would have had minicamp. We would have had crossover practices in Denver. We would have had 6 weeks of training camp. We would have had 4 preseason games, and we would have gotten to the first days of September and said, okay, there's a huge sample size here. There's a huge body of evidence for us to go through and figure out what the verdict of this quarterback competition has to be. The Bears don't have that. And so while you can say, okay, Mitch Trubisky looked a little bit better staying inside the pocket during these 3.5 weeks of practice, that's also without anyone coming to knock him on the ground, right? And so can you really test the growth of pocket poise if you don't have the fear of getting your butt knocked into the ground and smothered by a 300-pound defensive tackle or a 280-pound outside linebacker or edge rusher?
That's a great
point. So there's a lot we don't know, right? And so I think they feel like they're having to take some leaps of faith with some of the discussions they're having up there. And ultimately, I was telling Waddle earlier, they got to go to Detroit and win a football game, because no matter who they choose as the starting quarterback, there's going to be a tsunami of second guessing. And the only way to get that second guessing to quiet down a little bit is for the guy you pick to go out there, play well, and win a football game.
Dan, did I hear correctly that Matt said yesterday's practice was the best practice they've had in the entire camp? I thought I heard him say that.
I heard that too. Yeah.
So I guess the point
I will tell you that he was pleased. Yes, he was pleased with the practice.
Should we glean anything from that? Who was the quarterback that was taking the majority of the snaps with the ones? Is that not a dot that you can connect as we try to determine all of this? Or is that just meaningless information?
Yeah, I don't think it gets us any closer to knowing who the starting quarterback for week one is going to be. I will say that Matt's demeanor when he met with us yesterday was a lot more upbeat than it was the previous day when he was clearly edgy and a little agitated at whatever had gone astray with their practice the previous day. And so obviously they were able to correct some things, no matter, you know, we don't know what those were. We don't know who was taking the majority of the one reps. Were they splitting them on the last day of the quarterback competition? What did it look like? A good day of practice is always better than a bad day of practice, but I don't think it necessarily means much in this situation.
The most interesting thing I took out of your column today, and I stopped at number four because I couldn't take it anymore.
You know what he said, Dan? He said he fell asleep. He said he fell asleep.
I dozed off, and it has nothing to do with your writing. You're the best. It's just, and tomorrow on the nine Foles things, it's the same thing. It's just we've heard them all, but I thought one of your points early in that was they haven't won their opener since 2013.
Yeah.
Like, and how many times have they gone to the playoffs? I mean, that is something to do with it. They're always playing from behind to start a year. Get off with a damn win and get off on the right foot
of the season. Somebody's
cracked. You know, the franchise that has there's only one franchise that has a longer drought since they last started 1-0. I bet you can name it without trying too hard.
The Cleveland Browns.
Correct. So the Bears haven't had a 1-0 start. The only team that hasn't started 1-0 longer is the Browns. And so that's the class you're in there. They have to get off on the right foot in week one, and they have so much stacked against them because they didn't have an opportunity to do all these other things that we talked about. You know, you talk about Nick Foles, and normally you get 3.5 weeks of practice time on the field with your new team and your new teammates, and you say, okay, it's the second week of June. We've still got mini camp. We still got training camp. We still got all these things ahead where I can, you know, take my limitations and improve on them. I can take my strengths and get them better, and I can be ready to go for the regular season. Here you get through 3.5 weeks of practice, and oh, right, guess what? You're right in the teeth of week one. And so there's a lot stacked up against the Bears in trying to make this thing work going into the regular season. The bottom line here, Sylvie, if you read a little bit further than four, one of the biggest problems with Trubisky is that they just never had these sustained stretches of success in 3 years. He's made 42 starts, including the playoffs. They have scored one touchdown or fewer in 21 of those 42 starts.
Oof.
I mean, that is staggering when you stop and look at that. I think Mahomes is 36. Mahomes, he has scored 20 points and a half, I think, 16 times. So compare those two things together and realize that your offense has just been this absolute weight and anchor, keeping your franchise from going in the direction it wants to go in. And you have to just try to figure out, I guess, to some extent, how much is Matt Nagy scarred by the last 2 years of trying to get this thing going, and not being able to get Trubisky unlocked in a way that produces stretches of, you know, sustained success and production offensively.
One more quarterback question, then we move on to other things, because there are some other things that need to be talked about with this. Do you really believe, Dan, that they are undecided at this point and were undecided a day ago or 2 days ago? Do you really, in your heart, you've covered this sport for a long time, you've been around a lot of people, are you buying that?
I am. I am, and I do. What I would tell you is this. That doesn't mean they're not leaning one direction, that they're not. Did Waddle just fall off his chair?
Because this is what drives him most nuts, not about who it's going to be. He thinks if they don't know by now, Dan, that they're incompetent.
What I'm telling you is that undecided and not and stuck in the middle are two different things, right? And so I think they want to make – damn sure that when they make this decision and they announce it to the team and then they head forward into planning to the Lions, that they have set themselves up with the absolute best opportunity to win the first football game. And then, oh, by the way, hopefully you're also choosing a guy because you think he can win the second and third and fourth football game as well, and not just, oh, hey, he's had success against the Lions, let's go with this guy. But I do think that they just want to take their time, right? My son had some of that state testing in school this week, and I said, when you get to the end of the test, just make sure if you've got extra time, go back and check your answers on every single one of these just to make sure you're comfortable with what you're submitting. I think that's part of the process that the Bears are going through yesterday, today, tomorrow, into Saturday. They just want to make sure that when they do make this announcement, that everybody feels really good about it and they feel like that they have taken every single shred of evidence they've had to inform their decision.
You just made your son a second guesser. Yeah, I mean, like, you just questioned whether or not he had conviction with any of his answers. You told him to
check
go back and look at it again.
He said, check your work.
Check your work. Check your work. As writers, we go back, we copy edit it, we proofread it, we make sure that we don't have commas out of place, words misspelled. Just check your work. Just make sure you feel good about it before you send it in.
All right.
All right, two guys I want to ask you about. Akiem Hicks was back. Is he ready to go? And what about Jalen Johnson?
I have no idea with Akiem Hicks. Today was a very light, what the Bears call a 10-10-10 practice. We were not allowed to watch anything beyond stretching, so we don't know where he's at. You have to also consider that these guys on an abbreviated timeline are trying to get in football shape for a season opener. And so I can't promise you that Akiem Hicks is going to be a 100%. And ready to go for the opener.
You think he'd be on a snap count, maybe, just to kind of ease him in?
Yeah, potentially. If that quads a problem, and you're also worried about, you know, can he take a full game load under his belt? You'll absolutely keep a close eye on that. With Jalen Johnson, he has come along in this training camp better than I expected him to on such a short timeline. What I think will happen here, Sylvie, is you'll see the Bears going with Buster Screen as their second outside cornerback in the base defense. And then when they play nickel and they need the three defensive backs, Screen will bump inside to the slot and Jalen Johnson will come in and play outside, perhaps splitting sometime early with Kevin Tolliver. But I got to tell you that he has made some plays in the practices we were able to watch that just showed you both a level of pro-ready instinct and a level of pro-ready confidence that he feels like he belongs, he knows he belongs, and he's not sort of hesitant and uncertain with the things he's doing. And so that's obviously a positive development for a guy that they invested a second-round draft
in. Dan, have you been able to discern whether or not they have improved up front with their offensive line?
No. No, the short answer is no. And every time they've run the football in the early stages of training camp, there's been this I guess uneasiness for me in not necessarily seeing holes open up or running backs having a lot of room to do what they need to do. And so I've got big, big questions about the running game still. I've got big, big questions about the offensive line. We don't know for sure when David Montgomery will be back in the fold. And so after we spent 10 minutes talking about the uncertainty with the quarterback position, you throw in uncertainty with your running game and your offensive line, and you can understand why this opener in Detroit isn't just a automatic check the box, put it in the win column, and come back to victory Monday. There's a lot that this coaching staff needs to figure out to make sure that they position this team to play well enough on offense to support a very good defense and win a football game to start the year.
And here's another question on the offense. I'll never forget this. A time or two when we were dodging flies in Bourbonnais on our set, you sat on our stage and you told us that Anthony Miller was just sticking out, that he's just got that it factor. And now 2 years later, we're still waiting for him to emerge. Do you believe he emerges, or has he just been a letdown?
I believe he emerges, and I know I've promised this before, and it hasn't happened for consistent stretches like we need it to. Obviously, 2 years ago, he was in the end zone, I think seven times, at least six times. Last year, he has that five-game stretch in November and early December where he looks like the absolute answer as the number two to Allen Robinson. And you know, he's having 100-yard games. He's making big plays. He's playing with that relentless motor that he has. The Bears coaching staff has forever harped on him about just making sure that he understands how to be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there and be very attentive to the details of what they're asking him to do within the concept of every play. They believe he's made progress on that. Matt Nagy praised him effusively yesterday, saying that he had a really, really strong camp, and that's the first time really in 2.5 years that I've heard Matt feel and outwardly express this genuine encouragement and praise for where Miller's at and what he can do for this offense. Guys, I think we've talked about it before. That him and David Montgomery have to be the players you believe they were on draft night for this offense to break through and become what you want it to become. If they don't, you're doing the same thing that Bears offenses have done for 35 years. You're spinning your wheels in the mud. You're telling the defense, sorry, we were hoping to come along for the ride, but we kind of blew it, and we're here fixing a flat tire, and good luck with wherever you're headed because we're stuck here. The Bears absolutely need Anthony Miller to be that game changer. We'll see where he takes it.
Dan, real quick, have you been as impressed with Cole Kmet as others have?
I have. I would say, first of all, he just looks like he's got the feel for the game that you need. Certainly the role that they're asking him to play as a blocker and a pass catcher, he's equipped for that. There's a bit of a learning curve at that position as a rookie, so we'll see how quickly he's able to get through that. But I think that they have things in place that will set him up for success. And then obviously you're banking on Jimmy Graham being a really, really good player for you. And that tight end room should be much improved over a year ago. And that's one thing going into the opener that you guys will look at and go, whoa, that looks different than anything that we saw in 2019.
All right. So do you have any idea when they publicly announced the quarterback?
Who cares?
Waddle's done. Matt sort of indicated today that there would be a practice on Sunday. And so if that's going to be the case, you'd imagine that the team would gather together on Sunday morning before you go out on the practice field. I would imagine that the head coach would stand in the Walter Payton Center and say, I've got a rose to give out.
Oh, boy.
and he's going to hand it to one of those quarterbacks, and off you go onto the practice field getting ready for Detroit. So that would be my sort of guess, is that Sunday morning would be the announcement to the team. If it leaks out on Saturday, I wouldn't be shocked either.
Good stuff, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. Stay sane, boys.
Easier said than done. Yeah. There's Dan Weider.
I'm past it. It doesn't bother me anymore.
It sounds like you're over it.
Yeah, I'm over it.
You had your day of being angry.
I burped.
Now I'm a day later.
I got it out of me, and now I'm good.
332-3776. Also, is Matt, like, remember, this defense has been really good for the last 2 years. So if they make the wrong choice again and the quarterback is struggling, is Matt Nagy worried about losing the locker room? We'll give you his answer to that question coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Boom, 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 boom,
332-3776. Matt Nagy met the media today, and so Weider thinks it will be Sunday when they have a practice. Maybe someone breaks it before then. But Matt Nagy was asked the question, do you believe you're going to get some pushback after you name the starting quarterback from your locker room?
I don't. And I know just like a lot of things in this life, we all have our own opinions and we all express it in different ways. And I understand that you're 100% not going to satisfy everybody. That's not going to happen, but that's why they go ahead and they put me in a role to make decisions. And myself, I put others in roles to help me make decisions. So it's the same thing. It's about trust. And then the conversations that go on with the players involved in a decision, and then the team, when they find out, to me, the first people that need to find out are the quarterbacks. And that'll be a discussion that I have with them. And they're going to always get me shooting straight from the hip. And when we do that, or when I do that, then we'll go ahead with the next chain of command on how we do that. And I just know that the team believes in both of these guys. And so whoever it is, I'm not concerned at all about that from the team aspect.
All right, there you go. There's Matt Nagy today. Maybe the next
time. Who was that? I was actually looking at trying to chase a bet that I have on the Cubs and Pirates game. Who was that?
That was Matt Nagy, your head coach of the Chicago Bears.
I'm sorry.
The team that you played for, proudly.
Yeah, no, I know. I just didn't know. I caught it late. I had other things going on.
Braggs wants to weigh in after yesterday's not-so-nice conversation. If we call it a conversation?
It was fine by me.
Braggs, you're on ESPN 1000.
We are all good. I want to preface this before we get into the yelling that I love you guys. That's obvious. We got to get that out of the way. We're getting our football emotions in there. But I will adhere to the Abdallah ban for tomorrow, but I had to call in today. You guys are thrashing me in the first 30 minutes of your amazing show that I'm so grateful to come on when you guys let me on. Now, when Abdallah is sitting here saying, oh, I'm not going to say anything when Foles gets the job, win or if Foles, get out of here. Everyone's going to come at Cap and I and anybody else that defended Trubisky or however you want to phrase it in the same way that I told you so they're going to come out either way. That's football talk. I'm ready for it either way. I don't care. But don't give me this holier than thou. I'm not going to say anything stuff because we all know it's coming out. Now, the other part of this is, you know, Abdallah says, hey, I don't really care who the quarterback is. I'll root for anybody. I've heard that from Waddle. I've heard that from all you guys. But in the same breath, Abdallah's like, oh, well, but I know that Mitch isn't the guy because I know football. Well, I'm sorry, Abdallah. That's not good enough for me. I personally don't agree. You want to talk about you knowing football? I've followed this team a lot, probably a lot, in my opinion, a lot closer than you have the last 3 years, and I do have an opinion on it that doesn't compare to yours. I'm sorry. You don't like what you're hearing. It's not that this isn't a fanboy thing. You just don't like what you're hearing here. I've always said, let's get Mitch the first shot. So be it. Waddle's so done with the conversation that he won't even look at the quarterback competition going on. He's saying, well, the decision was made before they even got to camp or when they first got there. That's baloney. Then why, like the caller that called in before Weederer came on, so eloquent to point out, why is Mitch still on the team then? Why are we splitting reps with Mitch Trubisky if Nick Foles is just going to get the keys anyway? That's a big waste of time. You guys make fun of all the rationalization Mitch truthers try to make, but you're sitting here saying we're splitting reps at camp right now when we have a limited camp. We're going to split reps just to appease Ryan Pace? I don't think so, guys. They are in the same room every day talking about this. They are evaluating this, whether you like it or not, or whether it is incompetent or not. Now, like I said, we can agree to disagree all day, and finally we're going to come to a resolution on who the quarterback is going to be week one. But this is going to go on all year, ladies and gentlemen. If it's Mitch, we're going to be looking at every throw he makes. And, you know, Foles, obviously, it's more about the health concern. I'm going to be all in for whoever the quarterback is. Everybody needs to stop prefacing that they're a real fan if they root for. Get out of here. We're all Bears fans. Meet me at a Bears game any day and find out how big of a fan I am. Want to talk about getting cracked? I was cracked an hour and a half ago, and you guys are ripping me to threads. I had to call and defend myself a little bit.
And we need to do this Bears beauty pageant where we name the Bears' biggest fan and we can all compare Staley's.
No,
whose Staley
stupid.
Is bigger?
Big
that's
fans.
What you're
I
doing. I'm a bigger fan than Abdallah. I hate when people do that.
Would you play the over
like
9.5
either.
Right now? They're going into the top of the eighth.
I might.
There's 8 total runs that
I
have been scored.
I think so. Because, I mean, look, this bullpen's crap.
See? You guys don't want to talk about it. You guys spent all of last week talking about how Mitch stepped out of bounds. You spent 4 hours giggling about that. But you won't talk about the rest of this competition because it doesn't fit what you guys
they
are talking
They were both average. I'm with you. I'll talk about this with you.
The Saturday practice last week was the biggest practice of all of them. And from the reports, Mitch outplayed him. You guys had 7 reporters on last week that it was 4-3 that Mitch was going to be the starter, and they all had different rationalization as to why. I didn't
but
hear
most of them said
that
Foles was winning.
For that.
Most of them
What's
said
that?
Foles was winning,
but
they all
had Mitch
right.
as the starter.
You're right about
what
that.
We,
which doesn't
what,
make any sense at
think,
all.
What we think is a moot point. What they're going to do is what we're arguing about here.
All right, Braggs, you made some good points today.
I love you guys, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
I've never heard. Oh, yeah, okay, call in on Monday, please.
Yeah,
we'll call in
when
before.
Mitch
that.
Is
no, call in on Monday.
The starter.
It's Labor Day. None of us will be
there. You go, Braggs. Thanks. It's okay.
That was a good run, though.
Hey,
that was a good run, Sylvie.
I would have given my left one for some breaking NBA.
Left
news.
What?
You know what?
That was That was a good stretch there. That was pretty good from Braggs.
I've heard
almost four
like
and a half
I said,
minutes.
I've heard it all. So
we should wait.
I don't.
We,
I mean, like,
we should have a million Braggs listening to the show. You know
course,
what I mean?
Yes.
Like, who care about their team?
Yes.
Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
I've done fighting over.
I kind of felt like it was one of those things in Congress where they filibuster, right?
Yeah.
Like, he took the floor and then he just went with it.
Yes.
He tried to hold the floor as long as he humanly could.
I didn't know,
that was a good run.
I didn't know we were pulling out our fandoms and comparing lengths here. But
yeah, that's what I said. We're comparing our Staleys. That's the new thing. I love that when people say to me, I'm a bigger fan than you, Sylvie. What kind of fan are you? You root for the Cubs. You're always negative about the Cubs, Sylvie. What kind of fan are you?
Yeah, what kind of fan are you, Sylvie?
Let's compare our Cubby Chubbies.
Turd.
Mine's what? Bigger than yours. Can we take the guy in Hawaii because he's calling?
Vince.
Vince, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. First of all, Sylvie Strong.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Secondly, this is going to be hard to follow up Bragg's there. I got to say this, though. Look, Sylvie sort of, nothing sets off my Bears PTSD than the words Rex Grossman. And when he put out the Twitter poll of the QB carousels, look, if Kyle Orton plays that Super Bowl, we win because Kyle Orton doesn't throw four interceptions in the game. And in my opinion, Trubisky is Grossman 2.0. I've said it before and I'll say it again. He's a taller Rex Grossman. And if Orton... Or I'm sorry, if Foles is Orton 2.0, he's already won a Super Bowl. How can we start Trubisky over Foles? It makes absolutely no sense to me. We have a defense that's ready to go. We have some backs. We have some receivers. I'm not asking for Nick Foles to be the franchise guy. I just need him to get us to the promised land. Trubisky can't do it. Nick Foles has already done it. It's not that bad. The argument should stop right there.
All right. It's. I love that he's still hot about the Grossman-Orton conversation.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
I was Team Rex, though, for the record. Where were you guys?
I was Team Rex. I'm with you.
Yeah. Rex was a really good guy, too. I worked with him over at Fox, and like when he would have bad moments, he would say, guys, I was bad.
Some of those throws, they popped to Bernard Berry in deep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was good.
Remember, he was Offensive Player of the Month in September.
Yes. Didn't they put up a 40 spot?
Wasn't the first,
like the Bills, right?
First 4 weeks of the season were just incredible, right?
Yes, yes. That's like the last time they won an opener.
The glory days.
Yeah, the glory days. All right, Waddle's World is coming up. And then I want to talk about the White Sox, too, at 4 o'clock. And I don't want to hear Sox fans panicking after the last two games.
Are they?
Black may be. Well, there's some people out. And then some baseball chatter. So, but coming up next, we've got Waddle's World. We'll have some fun there.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you're here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Oh, thank you, John. Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Did you guys see the story about the Cubs? They've announced plans for a sports book at Wrigley Field.
Should help with the money flow, should it not?
Yes. Today, the Cubs announced a multi-year partnership with DraftKings that includes plans for putting a sports book at Wrigley Field or in the Wrigleyville area outside of the park. The Cubs are the first Major League Baseball franchise to commit to opening a retail sports book on their stadium premises. What do you think?
I think it's awesome. I think it's going to be great for that area. I think it's going to be great if you're looking for that to watch a game. You know me, I love the app. I've been talking about the DraftKings app, and you've always said the bulk of the gamblers are going to be on their couch.
Yes.
But there's still the experience of going to a very well-done sports book. Just like you go to a sports bar in that area and you watch a game or you just soak in the experience on an NFL Sunday or whenever.
I still think the biggest thing is going to be, but now that you have online gambling, it's not really the case anymore. But I always thought the biggest thing was going to be when you could, you know, be at a bar. And if this is what the DraftKings sports book at Wrigley is going to be like, where you have the atmosphere of a Vegas sports book, but at like your local bar, where like you go and you watch, like let's say like a Buffalo Wild Wings, you go and they've got tons of TVs and all the games on and food and drinks and everything, but you can also, there's like two people taking bets.
Right. Financial details,
yeah,
including how and if the revenue from the sports book will be shared between DraftKings and the Cubs, were not disclosed. DraftKings becomes the official sports betting and daily fantasy partner of the Cubs with the deal. I think it's a very good, I think it's a smart deal.
Didn't Darren Revell report that it's a $100 million deal?
I saw something like that. I don't recall.
So look, we're in the middle of this pandemic. It's not helping anybody, except Amazon and a couple other places. We're all hurt by this. But in a few years, when everything recovers, the Cubs are going to have their own network in years like three or four, and they're going to have a sports book at Wrigley Field. Money should be aplenty.
Yes.
So aplenty.
Don't be crying poor, right?
Yes.
Okay. Cam Newton, as we talked about a little bit earlier, Cam Newton has been named the starting quarterback for your New England Patriots. It has been quite interesting, hasn't it? Not only have they named him the starting quarterback, also a captain. That I believe that Bill Belichick, in non-Bill Belichick form, was talking about how Cam is the hardest working guy and the most competitive guy, at least in the building now, if not ever.
Well, that's big. And look, there's a lot in it for Belichick, because he could have brought back Brady.
Right.
And then there's going to – Tampa just keeps adding weapons. So people are going to compare that all year. You know Belichick wants to prove people that it was him and not Brady.
Yeah.
Wasn't it you guys talked to Greg Olson, and he gave a ringing endorsement of Cam Newton.
Yes.
He loves
as
Cam.
A teammate, right?
Yes. Yes.
I heard that on your show, right?
He
I
believe said,
that
is yes. He right. said, like, you may have questions going in.
Right.
But after you work out with him once or twice, the guy completely wins you over with his personality.
Great for the room.
Yes.
Captain for the Patriots.
Yes. Correct.
Got it.
Yes. Patriots coach Bill Belichick has also named him, as I said, one of the team's three offensive captains. So, good for him. Ex-Washington football team employees want Dan Snyder removed as the owner.
Yep.
I don't
the
know.
The NFL has taken over that,
the investigation. What else do I have for you? I have Dolphins are fielding trade calls on quarterback Josh Rosen. He was one of your favorites, Sylvie. Are you interested?
Like 7 years ago when he was at UCLA or whenever it was, but. Ooh.
Not quite that far ago.
I always said, like, you know, maybe Abdallah and I were talking about it off the air. He hates Rosen. But I was always saying, look, if he's on the
Rosen.
Or another car commercial, right?
Uh-huh.
Or, like, for a seventh, why not? Like, see, he was, what was he, a top 10 pick? Or top 15 pick?
He was top 15.
I think
wasn't
he was the 10th pick, wasn't he?
With Arizona. You forget that. That just a couple years ago, he was Arizona's number.
Well, I knew he was in the first round. I don't know where in the first round.
3 years ago, I want to say.
Yeah, I mean, like, wow. You've got Ryan Fitzpatrick and obviously Tua there.
Roll Tide. One of my favorite gambling stories involves Waddle and Rosen is that I was in Vegas and, once again, housing bets for Waddle. I told Sylvie the story before we went on the air. Housing bets for Waddle, and I was downstairs at the sports book. I'm like away from it because you have to be on my phone. And we were like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And you were watching the pregame. You're like, did Josh Rosen just wink at the camera? Everything against Josh Rosen.
Did I win or lose that?
No, we won.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
They didn't cover, yeah.
What a wise ass that kid is.
Yeah.
He winks at
the
camera.
Hot tub picture?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, he took more risks than I don't know what.
Hey, he lived the good life when he was atop the world. That didn't last long.
No, he's not quite Johnny Manziel, obviously, but that was another one of your favorites.
That's a good would you rather.
You like the risky quarterbacks, don't you?
Well, I like the small guy. Well, Rosen isn't. Is he
he's
small
not huge,
as football?
But no, he's not that small.
That's a good would you rather. Who would you rather have lead your football team? Josh Rosen or Johnny Football?
Josh Rosen.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Josh Gordon has re-signed with the Seahawks. Has anybody been more yes, no in the last 10 years than him?
He sold his ring, too.
I saw that
Patriots.
For like 130 some
they
grand.
They gifted him the ring. He wasn't even available in the postseason, and they gave him the ring, and he sold it.
He need the money, man. Did you see the Nets have hired Steve Nash as their next head coach? Where did that come out of left field?
Out of nowhere.
Or was that something that anybody had a – was anyone sniffing yeah, around and
I was listening
that.
To – Black, I'll ask you, but I was listening to Cap when they came on with that breaking news, and it – totally floored me.
Are you surprised by that, Chris?
I am, but I'm not. Like, there is the connection there between Durant and Nash with Golden State, because Nash was a consultant with the Warriors throughout the title run, so he's been around the team for a long time. And I know people in the league love Steve Nash. It is surprising, though, Sylvie, to the point that
no coaching experience at all, right?
Well, yeah. Well, that's a questionable thing as well, since there's so many good coaches who are available who have coaching experience who are being passed up. And then also, it's a surprise because he wasn't rumored anywhere.
Right. Anywhere. You're right. That's the surprise to me is more that he was on nobody's radar, like not even Woj.
Like a name that's been on the radar now for two seasons is Chauncey Billups. Chauncey Billups has been...
I thought he's a front office guy. No? Also
both,
as a coach?
Well, he's been there. He's interviewing behind the scenes for different roles. He's testing the waters. Like, people know that Chauncey Billups either wants to run a team or coach a team. So, like, you know that name's out there. The same with Jerry Stackhouse. Jerry Stackhouse coaching in the G League. There's nothing with Steve Nash. He's just kind of floating about.
Right. You know what I have in my hand right here? Oh, be careful what you guess. I have a story.
Nuttiest story of the day.
That is correct.
It involves nudity.
You'll have to come back to find out. This hour is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Story of the day brought to you by our great friends at Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little nutty.
You bet your sweet backside. I had a story that was fantastic, but the fellas here informed me that we're going to actually spend more time than the allotted time here on that story later. So I picked a different story for you.
Oh, really? Okay.
Do you want a crazy story about a UFO potential or something from Abraham Lincoln? You choose.
Oh, UFO. You know, I'm very into space. I respect Honest Abe, but, you know, living
not
in the
nutty,
land
right?
of Lincoln.
It's not
land
as nutty.
Of Lincoln. I know as much about Lincoln, yeah.
A UFO found in Congo turns out to be Project Loon Balloon. The truth may be out there, but it isn't in a jungle in the Democratic Republic of Congo. What was mistaken for a UFO after it wound up in a dense jungle in the African nation turned out to be an internet balloon from Loon, a subsidiary of Alphabet, Reuters reported. Footage of the balloon was shared to Twitter showing a silver-colored object with what appears to be solar panels. A number of people are seen in the video inspecting the balloon in the area. What would you do if you saw that?
A balloon?
Well, I mean, it is a different kind of balloon.
Yeah. Who was the guy who rode the balloon yesterday? David Blaine?
David Blaine.
David Blaine.
I Googled
stunt.
That yesterday.
What was it?
He just flew in the air with balloons like to 20,000 feet, right?
Yeah. That's high.
Abdallah's not high. Buying it is actually a stunt.
Well, I mean, it is a stunt. He did go up there.
What does Abdallah think? That it was fake? Like,
no, I just don't think it was as serious. It's like the Walenda. He was strapped in. He had a parachute. There was no risk of death whatsoever. It's like when Walenda walks across a tight wire and he's strapped in, and if he falls, it just catches him.
Well, wait a minute.
He had to put the parachute on up there, though.
He had to have a parachute so he could land. How are you going to land with helium balloons?
Listen, this is a guy who's supposed to be an illusionist, not a strap in and ride a balloon across the canyon.
Strap in, right?
This is an illusionist.
He might be the other.
I said when this guy shows up to celebrity houses and puts a card in an orange, that's more impressive to me.
I want to see that. Can you put a card? I can put a card in an orange, but it really won't be any magic to it.
He makes you pick a card, any card, right? And he does your card. And then
boom.
And then
an orange.
And then he goes to Harrison Ford and he goes, cut this orange open, and he opens it up.
How does that happen?
Exactly.
It's a great question.
Exactly.
At Swift & Sons, they have a guy just like this. the mind-blowing card tricks.
The magic is like space for me. I don't even think about it because I don't want to think about it because it gives me too much of a headache and the willies.
But a dude strapped onto a balloon riding across with a parachute.
He wasn't strapped onto a balloon. He was hanging onto something.
He had a harness that was strapped to the balloon.
Okay, so what?
Yeah. What do you mean, so what? He went up there.
20,000 feet in the air.
You wouldn't do it.
Yes, I said I would.
No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
Now you're taking it too far.
I'm not afraid of heights. Put me on a balloon. If you're going to be like, you're not going to die. All right, cool, let's do it.
Start with one of the tall buildings over here.
Yes.
Go to the top of the tall building.
Give me a parachute. Let's go.
You're not doing that.
Why not?
There's no way you're doing it.
I'm telling you I will do it. I'm not afraid of heights. This is not a thing to me.
It's dangerous.
You wouldn't do what David Blaine did.
You wouldn't.
No.
Why not?
No.
What's the risk? There's no risk. There's literally no risk.
There's risk that you pass out.
Okay, so I asked you.
You can't even have your blood drawn, brother.
Yeah.
That's different.
You pass out.
Nobody's drawing my blood.
I know, but you don't. So what I'm saying to you is you have exhibited a tendency to pass out in some strange situation.
There's no blood involved.
How do you know that being 20,000 feet in
with
the air won't also make you pass out somebody that's prone to be passing out?
I've been in airplanes before.
Oh, my.
Have you not been in an airplane?
But the oxygen level is fine there.
Yeah. You're inside. You're contained.
Cabin, yes.
Yeah, you don't have problems.
I've been parasailing. What's the difference?
So I asked Adam this question last night.
I've been parasailing.
So say he does pass out and the balloons are continuously going up. How do they get him? What do they do, Abdallah?
He passes out.
He dies, and then the plane.
Go get him with a plane.
We got these big.
You hear this, Sylvie?
We got
20,000 feet.
Go get him with a plane.
What? 20,000 feet? Listen, an airline. A commercial airliner flies at 37,000.
Yeah, but they're not scooping him up.
Why not?
No, I know that. Sylvie just said 20,000 feet. That's halfway up that a commercial airliner goes.
No, isn't that how far he went? He went to 20,000 feet.
Yes, he was up there.
Yeah, and commercial flights go up to 37,000 feet. So that ain't no thing.
Well, they could come and get you, but I don't.
I don't think they could come and get you. I would black.
I'm saying.
You're going to scoop him up?
Wait a second. Time out.
Like a guy floating in the lake?
I'm saying. You could get something up there, but bringing you in would be difficult.
You could do it, though.
How high does a helicopter go?
Problem solved, this guys. How would they get him?
I'd take a BB gun
and I'd shoot those balloons down and watch them come down.
one by one.
You've got one of those planes where the back opens up and they drop the cargo off. All you have to do is open the back up and then scoop them in.
No.
What do you mean, no? They had to plan for this. He's not just going to go up there.
I'm telling you, the last time was the parachute.
Sylvie's right. The parachute was the plan.
The last time he went and got his blood drawn, he passed out.
No, that's not true.
Big Mr. Big Talker.
Yeah.
That's a subconscious reaction, says the dude who passes out from other stuff too, Waddle.
What do I pass out from alcohol.
So this is easy. This is easy.
I mean, like, that's different.
Hold on. This is all easy, right? Abdallah, you should go skydiving and do it as a station promotion.
Nah, see,
I don't think you would
different.
Ever skydive.
Skydiving's different.
You have a parachute.
That's exactly
you have a parachute.
Different. Skydiving's different.
Why?
I'm not jumping out of a plane. I'm not jumping out
of a
plane.
You would rather be lifted up to that height.
20,000 feet with
down.
A plane than going up via balloons.
In balloons, yes. Yeah, you lost.
Strap me to someone.
You're
Let's
the
go.
Mitch Trubisky of this argument right now.
Strap me to someone. Let's go. I'll jump out of a plane.
Okay.
Strap me to someone.
We need to do this as a promotion.
How much does it cost to go skydiving?
Well, we'll get the sponsor.
I'll sponsor this.
Yes.
I'm not going skydiving.
They've got a place like Joliet.
You guys, just because I'm not a magician. I'm not a fake illusionist like David Blaine.
What are you, a Chris Angel fan?
Mind freak? No, not a mind freak.
All right.
I'm a David Copperfield guy. Now you see him, now you don't.
If you want to weigh in on this, was David Blaine a stunt impressive or not? 332-3776. You know who wasn't impressive today? The Cubs.
Oh, they suck and they cost me money.
They cost Waddle money. And I'll tell you, though, why you shouldn't panic after losing 2 out of 3 if you're the White Sox. Baseball talk in 2 minutes.